Is it? We have one more good testimony that we want you to hear, and that's from Brother Floyd Irwin. And they are going to hold dinner for us, so don't be worried about you're not going to get your dinner if you listen to all of Floyd's talk. Because although it's been a couple of years ago since he left the Watchtower Society, I'm sure you're going to live with him as he goes through his life in the Watchtower and his life with Jesus. So we welcome you, Floyd, after all these years waiting for you to get here to Pennsylvania to hear your testimony out of the Watchtower into the family of God. Brother Floyd Irwin.
Well, you've been sitting for a while. Would you like to stand and be refreshed for just a moment? It's okay. I like the title of this convention, Witnesses Now for Jesus. And I'm happy to have this opportunity to tell you why. I'm thankful to Joan Settner for inviting me to come, and this is my first opportunity to ever come, and I've just enjoyed it immensely. I can't tell you how much my wife and I have enjoyed it so far, and I'm sure we will continue to enjoy it throughout the entire convention. To meet with you and to make new friends, and I think that this conference itself is remarkable proof that Jehovah's Witnesses are indeed finding real salvation in the real Jesus Christ. We've heard testimonies here from near and far, and a lot about the internet, and I believe that God is reaping a harvest of souls throughout the world, and that the internet is being used to help to draw people to Jesus Christ. The internet works so fast. Just before we left home to come up here, and we're in Alabama, I got a note from a person asking for help about Jehovah's Witnesses. And he says, I'm writing to you about the ministry you have to Jehovah's Witnesses. I heard you were a witness for 26 years. I heard about you from Personal Freedom Outreach. They had a conference where you spoke. Internet's fast, isn't it? The news got out before I got here. But of course, he got the news that I was going to be a speaker here, and I'm looking forward to responding to that with some help when I get back home. A few years ago, I was diagnosed with chronic lymphocytic leukemia. God is sustaining me, and I'm presently on no medication. So I praise God. I praise God that my wife and I were able to be here with you for the first time in our life. Many of you were Jehovah's Witnesses. Some of you may still be. Some of you may be thinking about coming out of it. It's my hope and prayer that what I share with you today will be of some help to you in your spiritual walk. We've all had different experiences. We may find a common thread here, but what I'm about to share with you is simply my own personal experience with them. I'm not here to berate Jehovah's Witnesses because I have loved ones and relatives that are still in it. I love them. I love Jehovah's Witnesses, and I pray for them to find the real Jesus. I was influenced by some older relatives to become a Jehovah's Witness when I was a very young teenager. I was a Jehovah's Witness for 26 years, from the early part of World War II to 1970. My parents were divorced when I was 12. I became a Jehovah's Witness shortly thereafter in the early 40s. And I believed in it with all of my heart. I think I would have given my life for it if necessary. I was a local leader among them. And I went to prison for refusing military service during World War II. Served a 5-year sentence with a felony conviction. When I got out of, well, even before I went into prison and after I came out, I went into the Pioneer Service, the full-time ministry of Jehovah's Witnesses. And I say this not to boast, but just to share a simple truth with you, that I was instrumental in persuading scores of people to become Jehovah's Witnesses. Many of whom are still active today. I was a high school dropout. The Watchtower Society discouraged education in those days. Still do, I guess. They taught the Battle of Armageddon was dangerously near. This book, the children book, was the one that I used to teach people about Jehovah's Witnesses. In it, there was a couple of characters, John and Eunice. They were just a few years older than me. That was in 1941 when this book came out, and John was 20. And John and Eunice agreed to defer their marriage till after Armageddon and having children. And today John would be 78 and still be waiting for Armageddon if indeed they were still alive. But as a result of this teaching, today at my age of 73 and nearing the twilight of my life in this world, I have no children or no children or grandchildren, but this has a happy ending. But I say this to underscore that I was totally dedicated. After I got out of prison with less than a high school education and being a convicted felon, I couldn't find a job, so I had to take anything I could get. But I continued to serve as a pioneer. But I began to have doubts and questions, and I couldn't talk to anyone about this. But I began to observe things, like the hypocrisy among the so-called elders, how they abused God-fearing, humble witnesses. The New World Translation came out. I came in on the King James Version. But they came out with the New World Translation and wouldn't reveal the translators' names. And I wondered about that. Now, I told you I didn't have that much education, so I don't pretend to be a scholar. I noticed changes in their teachings, and I began to find it difficult to keep up with what I was supposed to teach. And many times I would have to go back and tell the same people that what I taught them the year before had changed now, and it was different. For instance, I carried the phonograph in my arm and knocked on the door, and when they opened the door, I'd start the record playing Judge Rutherford preaching or teaching or screaming that religion was a snare and a racket. All religion was of the devil. And then later, I became part of the only true religion, according to what they taught. They changed the meaning of John 3:16. For God so loved the world. What world? Well, they used to teach that it was the world that Orthodox religion taught. And then they changed it to the new world. God didn't love this world. It was a new world because He's going to destroy this world. Who would be resurrected and who wouldn't be? They changed that so many times it was difficult for me to keep the truth straight in my own mind, the truth according to the way they taught it. And you know, once I remember during the war years and shortly thereafter that the Watchtower said that communist infiltrators had infiltrated the Watchtower organization and worked themselves up to responsible positions in the organization. And I couldn't help but wonder then, when I read that, about my leadership, the people who I was taking my instructions from. Could they possibly be infiltrators? This heavenly class and earthly class was confusing to me. I thought if it was good enough for the Watchtower leaders, you know, perhaps it may be good for me. But I didn't really understand that, but I accepted it. You know how we were. We are obliged to accept whatever they taught. Heavenly class and earthly class. Then they came out with a blood transfusion. These are things that they came out with after I became a Jehovah's Witness. I came into something that I thought was pure and right, you know. And then later I found out a lot of things that I didn't know. And then they came out with the blood transfusion thing. And Brother Duane just gave us a good message on that. I really didn't understand that much about it, but I was obliged to accept it. And those disfellowshipping practices. I thank God that I was never a part of a judicial committee that disfellowshipped anyone. But I didn't agree with those things, but I accepted it. And they talked about Jesus didn't die on a cross. And the Watchtower said, a single spike. Single spike. And then later God led me to John 20:25, where Doubting Thomas said, except I see in his hands the print of the nails, plural, which would suggest at least two nails. Now, not being a scholar, that convinced me that the Watchtower was lying. Now, if they'd lie about that, would they lie about something else? Would they lie about who Jesus is? Needless to say, I became disillusioned and discouraged. I knew something was wrong. I wasn't satisfied. I didn't have the peace that passed all understanding. And when I went to bed at night, I never felt sure of eternal life. Never felt like I had done enough. Always wondered, but I kept trudging along in the Watchtower service, not knowing what to do. Burdened down. And you know what Jesus says at Matthew 11:28? Come unto me. All ye that labor and are burdened down. And I will give you rest. His invitation was there all the time just waiting for me to accept it. It was only the grace of God that enabled me to survive what lay ahead. I tried alcohol. I got involved in a sinful relationship. I knew I had a terrible sin problem. Didn't know the answer. But I knew there was no solution within the Watchtower framework. I didn't know what to do. You know how it is. Once in the organization, no honorable way to leave. I didn't want to lose my hope of eternal life. I voluntarily wrote a letter to my wife and to the so-called judicial committee confessing my known sins and expressing my desire to find some help without the assistance of the committee of the elders. And I left that meeting. It took them about 10 minutes or less to disfellowship me after 26 years in the organization. And I left that meeting very distraught, not knowing what I was going to do, and I thought about suicide. But that the witnesses showed no concern and would not have cared if I had jumped off the bridge or blown my brains out. Now, this was in 1970, a long time ago. There were three kingdom halls there that I had part in developing. In the 29 years since then, instead of growing, they've now closed one kingdom hall down completely. My Jehovah's Witness' wife and I were divorced, and I was an emotional wreck. My dad, I'll tell you a moment about my dad. I had been influential in persuading him to become a Jehovah's Witness at the same time I did, and I went to him like a prodigal son and explained the circumstances to him. And he loved me very much, and he took me in and nursed me back to spiritual, to physical health. And the elders threatened to disfellowship him if he didn't throw me out. On several occasions, the Jehovah's Witnesses would come by and throw eggs on my house. And I caught them one night and confronted them. And they begged me not to turn them over to the civil authorities for prosecution. And I didn't prosecute them. And I tried to shame them and to show them how wrong they were to do these things. My dad lived for some years after that, but he was never active again. When he died, one of my relatives influenced one of Jehovah's Witnesses to conduct his funeral, but at the funeral they didn't say anything to give him any hope of eternal life, although he had spent 26 years also and had done a lot of things, busing people to the conventions and cleaning the kingdom halls and cutting the grass and so forth. And at my dad's funeral, I was there, of course, at the JW-conducted funeral. And these people who had known me for all those years passed right by without even acknowledging my presence, not even speaking. But back in 1970, when I wrote that resignation letter, I didn't know where I was going, but I was disgusted with the Watchtower. I felt like though I was in the bottom of a deep, dark pit with no way out. I didn't know there were people out there like Bill and Joan Settner. I thought I was the only one that would think this way. Anybody had that experience?
Yeah.
Look, all over the room. I went to the library. This was pre-internet days. I went to the library, searched for information. I found a book that referenced to a book. They didn't have the book, but I found a catalog listing of a book written by Ed Gruss called Apostles of Denial. And I ordered that book from the publisher, and when I got it, I literally devoured that book. Not just that book, but God's book in connection with that book. And I found for the first time that I could read the Bible and understand some things, you know, without the Watchtower filter. You know what that was making this revelation. And I burnt the midnight oil with the Bible in that book. And with the help of that, one night in the wee early morning hours, the precious Holy Spirit revealed to me, this is so precious, that Jesus was indeed God. Ooh. I realized that I had been an apostle of denial for all those years. I came to realize what a wretched sinner I was and my need for forgiveness. and salvation. I slipped out of my bed, down on my knees, and I had the most the most blessed talk with Jesus. I repented and confessed my sins, including the sin of being an apostle to denial, and invited Him to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. And I can never praise Him enough for lovingly responding to my pleading entreaty and drawing me into the family of God. You know, God had a firm grip on me. I didn't know it then. And this reminds me of the words of the song, He Came to Me. You heard that? The words say, the gulf that separated me from Christ my Lord, it was so vast the crossing I could never ford. From where I was to His domain, it seemed so far. I cried, dear Lord, I cannot come to where You are. But He came to me when I was bound in chains of sin. He came to me when I possessed no hope then. He picked me up and drew me gently to His side, where today in His sweet love I now abide. And even though I missed my friends and relatives who would no longer have anything to do with me, I never for a moment wished I was back in the Watchtower organization. With the leading of Jesus Christ, I soon became affiliated with a body of Christian believers, made a public confession of my salvation, and was baptized. When I heard about Joan and Bill Settner, I came up to Tennessee from Alabama and met with them and a few others. And I cannot tell you how encouraging it was to meet with people like that who had been where I'd been. Oh, that was so precious and wonderful. And now here, look how it's multiplied since then. You know, I prayed that God would raise up people like you. I prayed that God would raise up ministries to do what Bill and Joan were doing. And I thank Him that He's allowed me to have a part in that. Did I waste all those years as a Jehovah's Witness? I think not. I believe that God allowed me, and perhaps you, to have this experience to put you in a position to be able to help someone else. God has freed me from that watchtower fear. He's given me that sweet peace that passes all human understanding. I'm thankful for being married to a Christian lady who is very supportive in this ministry, and she's here with me, right here with the red dress on. And we have a beautiful 11-year-old granddaughter, and she has given her life to the Lord. My wife and I are active church members and active in evangelism. And we're so thankful. We do this work now not to get eternal life, but because of what God has already done for us, given us eternal life. And as Christians, we have the indwelling Holy Spirit to guide us. He, the Holy Spirit, not an active force, but a person, you know, who walks with me and talks with me and tells me I am His own. Oh, so precious. God has blessed me with an ongoing ministry of Jehovah's Witnesses. It started out locally, speaking in churches, and it kept spreading. And I sent things all across the country and even to foreign countries. And now the Internet has opened up a new ministry in the last few years. You know, the society has tried to control every aspect of your life, even your private life. And they would like to do so about the Internet, but they're finding it impossible. And the truth is that Jehovah's Witnesses are getting saved, and they're finding the real truth, Jesus, is making them real free. The freedom that Jesus spoke about at John 8:32, the truth shall make you free. I'd like to read to you a letter that came to me just before we left home, just in time for me to bring it to share with you. This lady says, I appreciate this opportunity to share with you my experience as a Jehovah's Witness and my search for salvation. I was raised a Jehovah's Witness from birth, as both of my parents were so-called, quote, strong in the truth. Growing up was hard because my mother died when I was 2 years old. And after that, I grew up in an abusive home. Being raised as a Jehovah's Witness, it seemed to me that the religion was more about the organization than it was about God. The organization was based on fear. Fear of Armageddon. Fear of not having done enough works. I always felt something was missing. I was disfellowshipped in 1984 after I left home and soon married a man outside of the organization. I was only 19 and newlywed when everyone I knew, including my family, treated me as an outcast. It was a very bad experience, being shunned by the people I loved. This didn't seem like Christian behavior, since Jesus never turned his back on anyone. So I started searching for what was missing. Soon I met a Christian woman who, along with my husband, talked about salvation. They talked about being born again, and I didn't understand what they meant. This was not something Jehovah's Witnesses taught, and she makes reference to John 3:3, where Jesus told Nicodemus that he must be born again. In all of my confusion, I started praying that God would show me what he wanted me to do. Then one Sunday morning in church, the preacher led the congregation in prayer, and I prayed that God would come into my life, and I realized my need for a Savior. Then I had an overwhelming feeling that Jesus had touched my soul. I could strongly feel the presence of God. I immediately realized that God was about love, not fear, as I had grown up to believe. All the questions I had were answered because I had just experienced God's greatest gift, the gift of salvation. My whole family is still trapped in a Jehovah's Witness organization, and I pray for them. I have read many testimonies of former Jehovah's Witnesses on the Internet and have met some wonderful people. It is my heartfelt desire that many more Jehovah's Witnesses will open their hearts and begin to search for what is missing in their lives and find freedom in the real truth. If you'd like to send this young lady a note of encouragement, you might write her email address down. It's spelled STORRMYWX@AOL.com. I'll go over it one more time. STORRMYWX@AOL.com. Send her a note of encouragement. Her name is Rebecca. And now in closing, I'd like to address those of you listening to this message, either here in person or perhaps on tape. I praise the God of truth for raising up people like you who have a genuine burden, as I do, to help the sincere Jehovah's Witness to see the error of the Watchtower Society. You who have been Jehovah's Witnesses and have experienced real salvation by being born again have the unusual gift of being able to speak their language and share the true gospel that brings eternal life to them. Ask yourself this question. If I don't use this special, unique, God-given gift to share the message of Jesus Christ to these dear ones for whom Jesus gave his very life, who will? Yes, God could cause the stones to cry out, but he in his infinite wisdom has chosen you. He's chosen to use you in this ministry rather than stones. So may I encourage you to use every opportunity and every tool and vehicle at your disposal to share the wonderful good news of Jesus Christ with them. And to those of you who are still Jehovah's Witnesses, please listen with your heart to these next few thoughts. In 1969, I was at a Jehovah's Witness convention in Atlanta, Georgia, when the Watchtower Society released the Kingdom Interlinear Translation of the New World Translation. And as I studied that, I discovered something that later became the most enlightening truth I had ever known. It wasn't that I was such a great scholar, but just that God used His Word to reveal something divine to me. I knew that Jehovah God used Moses to deliver the Israelites from Egyptian bondage, and He revealed Himself as the Great I Am. And in this Kingdom Interlinear at John 8:24, it became very clear that Jesus said, "For if you believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sins." Not only was Jesus here claiming to be the Great I Am, but He said to refuse to acknowledge this, a person would die in a state of unforgiven sin. And nothing could be worse than to die in a state of unforgiven sin. To receive eternal life, we must accept Him for who He claims to be, the Savior, the forgiver of sins. And then we must repent. And His Word gives us ample assurance that He will instantly forgive. He will then begin the process of making a new person out of you. The Bible calls this transition a new birth. The process then that follows that is called sanctification. So if you're here today, or if you're listening to this message by tape, and have not yet had this spiritual rebirth, then please realize that your presence here is not just an accident. You're hearing these words by divine appointment. And Almighty God wants you to accept Him now. And this conference among Christians who love you is a wonderful place and time and opportunity. Please respond to His invitation, and He will immediately welcome you and receive you into His family with the glorious assurance of eternal life. He'll give you peace in your heart, joy in your soul. He'll even put a spring in your step, and He'll make you want to shout, "Hallelujah!" Never heard that in a dead kingdom hall. He will guide you into a fellowship with Christian believers, and you will grow in Christ to be the person He wants you to be, a servant of the King, Jesus Christ. And you know, according to this verse, it's already been emphasized here at this conference, the Jehovah's Witnesses who have left the Watchtower organization but still refuse to acknowledge Jesus as the Great I Am are still in their sins. I feel they are spiritually shipwrecked Watchtower casualties. And my prayer is that they will deal with this most important issue while they have the opportunity. I'm glad that I know that Jesus is not the Archangel Michael, but that He is indeed the Great I Am, the eternal God in flesh, who shed His blood at Calvary for me. And I want the remaining part of my life here to be a testimony to the marvelous grace of God. Please write down my email address, because I want to hear from you. ERWIN1, the numeral 1, at flash.net. ERWIN, the numeral 1, Irwin1, at flash.net. Please keep in touch with me. And may God bless you is my prayer. Now, I'd like to conclude with a song that has become my theme. I'm glad I know. Kurt, we ready? I'm glad I know who Jesus is. Town called Bethlehem, so many years ago, they told Him there was no room in the inn. But they had
no way of knowing who they had turned away. The Lamb of God who would take away their sin. I'm glad I know who Jesus is.
Sing it with me.
I'm glad I know who Jesus is. He's more than just a story. He is the King of glory. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. Today don't know who Jesus is. They've never felt his peace down in their soul. But I want my life to show them how his love can set them free. He's the only one who can cleanse and make men whole. I'm glad I know Jesus is. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. He's more than just a story. He is the King of glory. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's a counselor, deliverer to me and you. He's the everlasting Father. He is the King of glory. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. He's more than just a story. He is the King of glory. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. I'm glad I know who Jesus is.
Thank you. I love you. Praise God. Praise God.